First of all, there's no backstabbing going on here.
It's time for me to move on.
This will be Phil's last year as the coach of the Bulls.
Are the expectations way too high?
Where do we go from here?
The only question, how long can it last?
That's it right there. Oh, the
chills
last.
Every time.
It's been so good. It's been so good.
I already know
good.
Exactly how I'm going to feel Sunday. I'm going to be super hyped. I'm going to be thinking about 8 o'clock Central Time, kickoff, last dance. And the moment it ends, I'm going to be so – I'm going to say that was awesome and then be completely bummed out knowing I don't have any more episodes.
It's going to feel like the fourth retirement is what it's going to feel like. Jake Rogel has been – a producer on The Last Dance, working side by side with Jason Hare, putting this whole thing together, and he's joining us now on 720 WGN. Jake, from all of us in Chicago, first of all, we would like to thank you. We have, and from my personal corner here, I've just speaking for myself, I have loved all of it. I think my favorite two episodes of, or my favorite two nights were 7 and 8 and 1 and 2, but it's all been great. So thank you for all your hard work. It's really been a treat for all of us.
I really appreciate that. It's really kind of you guys. And we really wanted to make sure that people from Chicago particularly liked it because, you know, there's a lot of memories there and it means a lot to a lot of different people. But for Chicago in particular, you know, that's the home and that's where it all happened. So one of the biggest things we wanted was, all right, make sure people in Chicago like this. And so to hear those kind words is awesome to you. So thank you for that.
I mean, I went and got Baker Square after the that's been eating Baker Square my whole life. To hear it get dropped and hear those guys were eating Baker Square in Deerfield, I mean, it's just checked all the boxes for someone who grew up watching the Bulls and loved Michael Jordan. So yes, thank you.
That's great. I really appreciate tremendous. That.
So Jake, let's get into the minutia here, because first of all, what was it like for you being in the room with Michael? Give the kind of the, I mean, was it nerve-wracking? I've heard you guys have talked about how he was super friendly, but still you've got this, you know, the icon sitting in front of you. What was that like for you?
It's very nerve-wracking. Not going to lie at all. It was the morning of, we were kind of all hanging out in the hotel, sort of waiting to go to the interview, and everyone was kind of calm and quiet. And then when you're at the interview, you're waiting, and, you know, you have a time that he's going to come. But you're not sure if he's going to actually come up on time. So you're kind of waiting and you're waiting. All of a sudden the doorbell rings and you're like, oh my God, he's here. Like, this is it. So he walked in the door, and I think immediately you're just, it's shocking because you see all the highlights and you see, you know, everything about him in magazines and photos, and you almost forget that he's an actual person, that he's just, you know, just like us. And he walks in the door and you're like, oh my God, that's Michael Jordan kind of walking in. And immediately you have to get into work mode. So you snap out of that pretty quickly, but absolutely, it's shocking to see him in person. I've said to people, it's like seeing the Statue of Liberty walk towards you. You don't think it's real, and then it happens, and you're like, wow, he actually moves and he walks.
Well,
but immediately he's good at being, you know, the situation is nerve wracking. He knows that. He knows the presence that he has. So it's calm. He's able to calm the room down pretty quickly just by being friendly and joking and things like that.
Hearing Michael Jordan use the doorbell just like the rest of us was surprising to hear. You figure the door would just kind of magically open as he walks up to it, because he is a godlike figure. You know, I heard Jason Hare describe the first meeting with Jordan to almost like meeting Santa Claus. You know everything about him. You've loved the man your entire life. It's almost like he's not a real person. I'm with Carm. 7 and 8. I kind of was anticipating. I'm like, okay, this is going to dive into some of the baseball, some gambling stuff I've heard about. And it was... I'm going to cry watching Michael Jordan cry. I mean, seeing him cradle the basketball, and we've seen some of those clips, but the way you guys presented it, where it was so raw, him in the trainer's room with the basketball and him just bawling his eyes out. I'm getting chills thinking about it now. It really has given me, someone who thought he knew everything about Michael Jordan, a completely unique and different perspective that I had no idea about him.
And I love that you just brought that point, Kippy. Did you know that the audible version of him crying on the floor that Kevin's talking about was there, Jake?
You know what? I didn't. I know the clip so well, but I've seen our version of it so many times that I didn't realize that people hadn't seen it without the audio of him crying before. And you know what? I've seen that clip so many times in my head, I just thought, like, okay, I've heard him crying before. So I never put it together that we have a clip of him with the audio. So when people were tweeting about that, it's fun for me to watch people react live to it, because people are in the audience are noticing things that I never noticed. I've watched it so many times, but I didn't realize that was a unique thing that we had.
Yeah, because I've seen that before. At least I thought I had seen it a million times. Something like that. But when it was just so moving to hear him bawling like that, like how much it all mattered to him, you know, and just
the, yeah. Well, I think that's what's so amazing about. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just when he cried during the interview, you anticipate these interviews and you think, you know, you have the questions beforehand and you think, okay, how's he going to react to this and how's he going to react to that? When we talk about his father, will he get emotional there? So every time before the interview, I thought he would cry. If he cried at all, I thought it would be talking about his father or about, I don't know, something related more to his personal life. And then he cries because he's so competitive and he wants everyone else to understand why he was so competitive. And so for that to be the reason that he got emotional in our interview was so surprising to me. I don't think any of us expected him to cry at that moment talking about that topic. It was just very telling of who he is at his core.
And it was so on brand because he has been unapologetic on, you know, from Harvey Gantt or whatever. Look, I was a basketball player. I was focused on winning. I was focused on my craft. It meant the absolute world to him. He was of singular focus, and that's why I think at that point it got to him because, you know, he had put so much into it and it mattered so much to him. That, and that was awesome, Jake, that it boiled up. How long, by the way, did he have to sort of gather himself before he kept on with the interview?
That's a good question. I don't think it was very long. I think it was like maybe 10 minutes. Stood up, got some water, maybe just kind of had a moment to himself and came back. But it wasn't too long, and he sat right back down and was ready to talk again. But I think, you know, it was surprising, and we wanted to make sure he had his space and the time to compose himself. But it wasn't too long, probably 5 or 10 minutes, I would say.
Do you make a joke coming back in? Or was it more like sort of,
you know,
a serious?
I think it felt serious, and I think that he was smiling, I think, and I'm pretty sure the room got light quickly, but I think we wanted to respect kind of the emotion he was feeling and, you know, be respectful in that way. So I don't really remember the specific moment. I just remember thinking, okay, I hope this interview continues because it's so good. That's the other thing is I was lucky because Jason was doing the interviews. And so when we're in the room, I'm following along and taking notes and things, but I get to just sit there and kind of listen to it just like everybody else. And it was like listening to a podcast for me. So, you know, I helped Jason prep. And help him prepare, and I'm sitting there just making sure that when I'm missing anything, because, you know, the conversation's bouncing all over the place, but it's such a joy for me to just put, you know, I get to sit there and kind of watch Jason do his thing, so the pressure's off, and I just got to listen to Michael just talk forever, which was, I could do that all day. It was awesome.
I'd give everything to be in that position, right? The fly on the wall for a Jordan interview,
yeah.
Incredible. you guys have done a great job of, and this is props to you, Jake, for organizing the whole thing, but the amount of content you were able to get from people that were involved in that era and were around Jordan has just been tremendous insight every single episode. How many interviews did you organize, and was there anybody that pushed back or wasn't willing to do it? I know it's sometimes we work in radio and sometimes people don't want to talk. I get it. I totally get it. But was the process difficult, or did you just have to say Michael Jordan and people were in?
Yeah, it's funny. We interviewed 106 people. There was 108 total interviews because Michael did three. So I organized a lot of them. I didn't do, you know, getting the Obamas and the Bill Clintons and the Michael Jordans of the world. That's kind of out of my ability. But I was able to get everybody else and track everybody else down. And really, the thing is, I think the reason for the honesty and what we got out of people is that time has passed. So people are willing to talk honestly because there's not really any repercussions for being honest at this point. Because no one's on a team right now. And they're willing to be open about things. So just the passing of time allows people to be a little more honest. But I think that it was just when you say, you know, hi, my name's Jake and I'm doing a documentary about the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan is involved. As soon as people hear that, they immediately think, okay, this is legitimate because Michael, you know, for as much as Michael's part of culture, he's really not out there. He doesn't do many interviews. He's not involved with a lot of media. So when people hear, okay, Michael's involved, they know it's immediately legitimate. And then people want to be just around Michael and part of Michael because of who he is. So my job normally, you know, I haven't tracked people down to this extent actually in my career, but I thought it would be a lot harder. But then as soon as I realized people understood that Michael's involved and that makes it legitimate, then it's just a matter of working schedule. So the convincing people to be a part of it was very easy. We got very little pushback. The hardest part was just getting a hold of people and, you know, my number, they'd see my number on their phone and ignore it because they didn't know who I was. But once they understood why I was calling, there was really no pushback at all. We got pretty much everybody we wanted that I can think of. I can't think of anybody that was evasive. I mean, there are a couple of people that were evasive. They're just hard to get in touch with. But I can't think of anybody that were like, oh, man, we missed them. That's a bummer. Everyone wanted to be involved just because Michael was involved.
Jake Rogel, producer of The Last Dance, joining us here on 720 WGN. Jake, what was the conversation like when you guys were considering whether or not to interview Jordan's current wife, Yvette, or his former wife, Juanita? I I was having a conversation with one of my friends recently, and it's like, it would be very interesting to have Juanita's perspective, especially around his father's death and how what he was like at home. I would have been curious to hear that, but I'm assuming that that was something that you guys decided was off limits. But what were those conversations?
I think more, and actually we didn't talk extensively about it. It was kind of an obvious choice because really this was a doc. It was a Chicago Bulls documentary with Michael Jordan as the main character. So a lot of people think it's the Michael Jordan doc. And I mean, it's the most Michael Jordan doc that's sort of been done before, but it still is the Chicago Bulls documentary with just him as the main character. So if Juanita was in it, it would have felt a little off just because we didn't have any other wives in it. I mean, Carmen Electra was in it because she's part of the Dennis running off story. And Tish Roulette was in it, Gus Lett's wife, because Gus had passed away, so she was kind of Gus's voice. But we didn't have any other wives in there, so I think it would have felt a little strange to just have Michael's wife and nobody else's, because, again, it was a Chicago Bulls documentary. And I just think that was sort of the initial thinking there, was just, okay, let's make it about the Bulls and have the people who were involved in the stories telling the stories. You know, if you have Michael talking about his father passing away, that's the core of it. That's the crux of it. So that's who you want to hear from. It never really was even a big thing. We just never considered it, really.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Jordan didn't want filming in his home, correct? Because I know people are commenting on every single component of it, and one of them was, you know, where he was sitting in the big, you know, beachfront property. Didn't you guys, did I read that you guys rented properties away from his home because he didn't want...
Yeah, we found properties in his neighborhood, and I think it's more just, there are a lot of people we interview that don't want us in their personal space. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a crew with stuff and shoes on and gear, and, you know, like, people don't want us just messing things up in their house. So I think initially, the initial thought was just, okay, get the crew away from my house. So I'll do it in my neighborhood, but just not in my actual house.
I'm curious, is Scottie Pippen mad at you guys? Have you heard this, Jake? Because there's kind of these rumors out there that he's not thrilled with The Last Dance and maybe he didn't get enough credit. And what was it like for you dealing with Pippen, and have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, but he was great. He was so nice and really friendly. He gave us awesome time. And I hope that people realize how important Scottie was to that. You know, in the second episode, we get into it. On top of the contract with the main story there, but you know, he was so pivotal. None of this would have happened without him, and so I hope that comes across, and you'll see in episode 10 he's a huge part in that Utah series, obviously with the back injury in game 6 when he played through the pain and he gets his due there. But I hope that he's not negatively portrayed, and he was just so important. He had just a lot of drama happened during his career, and so we covered all those interesting things, and some of them are negative, you know, not going in for the New York shot and the contract stuff was tough, but you know, he was so vital in all of this, and I hope that he and other people understand just what he meant to that team. And I you know, I hope we did what we could, and I hope that he feels that way, and I hope he's not disgruntled about it. But he was amazing for us. He was really nice, really friendly, let us in his home, gave us a lot of time. We did a Charlotte event during the All-Star game. He was part of that. So I hadn't heard that, but I hope that he understands how much we appreciate him and how important he was to the whole thing.
And I don't think he's got anything to apologize for. Look, you had the 1.8. You're still in the Hall of Fame. You're a top 50 player. You had a bad moment. And you were kind of shockingly honest about it also, saying that you wouldn't change it if you had to go back and do it again. Was there anything that you guys didn't put in the doc, Jake, that kind of stands out as something that, you know, just missed the cut that was super interesting to you?
There was some stuff about... So the hardest thing about this doc is 10 hours is not enough. I mean, excuse me, there's some topics that we really could have gotten into more. We could have done a whole episode on Michael's childhood. That was one thing we really struggled with. We had a huge section of his childhood that we had to cut down. And that's just because you have to get to everything. And I mean, you look at episode 5 and you have the All-Star game and the Jordans and the Republicans buy sneakers and all that stuff. You have to fit everything in. So inevitably some things have to, you know, get cut out. And so I think there was, we interviewed one of his childhood best friends, David Bridgers, just talking about growing up with Michael as a teenager. And I thought that was really interesting stuff because you just see Michael as a real person. You know, again, you forget that he's a real person. And when you hear people telling stories about like riding bikes together, going in pools together, some of the racial issues they faced growing up, it was really interesting. We just had to lose it for time purposes. So we got all the stuff in that we wanted to, that we felt was the most important, but inevitably in a doc this long, you're gonna have to lose things that are really cool.
Feel free to make a Last Dance part 2 with all that unused footage.
Mark.Carmen at Gmail. You can send all the outtakes. I'd love to watch it.
I don't think my brain could could handle another minute of making any more Last Dance stuff, to be honest.
Jake, well, here, we're up against the news here, so I guess we'll have to continue this conversation another time. But thanks again for doing it. You guys did a phenomenal job. Congrats on it. And we're looking forward to tomorrow night. In 10 seconds, what's the number one thing people should be excited about for tomorrow?
Game 6 against Utah. Michael and Scotty, it's unbelievable.
All right. It's going to be great. Hey, Jake, thanks again, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Jake Rogel.
I got chills.
Producer, the last.
I'm ready for tomorrow,
dance.
Man.
We're ready. What a project to be involved in. Yeah. It's all those guys. Great opportunity that I'm sure they will never forget. News coming up, 720 WGN.